Value-added measures in education. What every educator needs to know. Author, Douglas Harris. The accountability conflict. Since the early 1990s, one word has come up more often than any other in discussion about education. One word has changed how schools work in ways perhaps more profound than any other in history. That word is accountability. The policies that fall under the accountability banner have been both a rallying cry and the target of condemnation. Educators, while generally accepting the need for accountability, have real and justifiable concerns about the details of particular policies. They want what is best for their students, but believe that accountability has some, mostly unintended, negative consequences. Policymakers and the general public, on the other hand, see accountability as a matter of more versus less. They might sympathize with educators' concerns, but their sympathy gets overshadowed by a powerful desire to see a bottom line and demonstrable results. By paying insufficient attention to the basic nature of education, policymakers have unwittingly put in place an accountability system that is counterproductive for students and teachers alike, and often runs counter to the deeply held beliefs and goals policymakers themselves have for education. There is a more productive middle ground, one that uses value-added measures as one part of a system of performance measures and accountability that improves not only test scores, but teaching and learning. Rule number one, hold people accountable for what they can control. Many people, including the children themselves, control outcomes, and this makes it difficult to measure performance. The question is, how do we design accountability systems in smart ways? We address one fundamental problem that has been largely under the radar. The problem with test-based accountability is not only the significant limitations of the tests themselves, but that the tests do not accurately represent the contributions teachers and schools make to students' achievement. As a result, we are unnecessarily misjudging school and teacher performance, which is not only unfair to educators, but to the students who bear the brunt of the harm. Test design. Norm versus criterion referenced. The appropriate design of a standardized test naturally depends on what one hopes to learn about student knowledge and skill. If the goal is to learn how students compare with each other, then a norm reference test is in order. The results of norm reference tests are reported in terms of percentiles, that is, the percent of students in the population who are below a particular score. A student at the 50th percentile is at the median and near the average. Criterion reference tests are the right ones for holding educators accountable because they require the government to specify what schools are expected to teach and therefore what schools will be evaluated on. This is consistent with rule number one. Holding people accountable for what they can control requires telling people what they will be held accountable for. The results of criterion reference tests are usually reported as raw scores, scale scores, or percentage of students passing particular performance standards. Standardized testing and value added. If student test scores are to be used to compare educator performance, then the tests must be standardized across students to make the comparisons possible. This means, for example, that the classroom assessments that individual teachers design and utilize cannot be used for accountability. Unfortunately, measuring knowledge and skills, even along specific content standards, is difficult because there is simply no clear unit of measure. One problem is that every test question has a different level of difficulty. Raw scores, therefore, are not very useful for measuring students' achievement. For this reason, testing companies now commonly estimate scale scores, which take into account the test's level of difficulty. If a student gets a hard question correct, the scale score increases more than it does when a student gets an easy question right. Performance standards. The most common way of measuring students is a performance standard, which places students into categories by setting bars or cutoffs. The most common performance standard is proficiency, but the other performance levels are designated, such as basic and advanced. How are performance standards set? In some cases, they are very elaborate processes for making these judgments, including going through tests item by item and categorizing each based on detailed sets of criteria. The lowest standard is established based on a percentage of the easiest questions the student gets right, and so on for higher standards and harder questions. Rule number two. Hold people at least partly accountable for important factors they partly control. The partly controllable category comprises factors that are controlled by multiple individuals and groups. Rule number two, therefore, amends rule number one to reflect this more complex reality. People must be held accountable even for factors only partly within their control. Otherwise, performance measures are likely to create perverse incentives for educators to limit action in areas in which they might be able to make positive change. Shifting from school to teacher, value added. Teacher aides might improve student learning, but perhaps the most notable additions are teachers overall and grades subject-specific experience. Experience over at least the first 5 years of teaching provides a meaningful boost to student achievement. Therefore, for at least the early years of a teacher's career, it might make some sense to account for this factor, essentially giving less experienced teachers a bit of a break as they learn the job. Validity of value added in use. There are dozens of ways that value added measures can be used. One of the most important distinctions is between low stakes uses, like creating professional development plans for teachers, and high stakes uses, like compensation decisions. Although their impact may be greater or smaller, none of these uses are no stakes. In our conversations with them, teachers express the most concern about making performance results public and/or using performance measures for compensation systems. This leads to rule number three. Rule number three. Attach stakes to performance measures that are proportional to the quality of those measures. The social indicators are educator performance measures of all sorts, including value added. Corruption of the measures includes, for example, teaching students how to answer particular test items. So the fact that the stakes might initially seem proportional to the quality of the measure does not necessarily mean that it will continue to be proportional over time as people adjust their behavior. Value-added measures that match their uses. There are three reasons why value-added measures should not be created until decisions have been made about how they will be used. First, using them to inform high-stakes decisions means that they must be very reliable, and requiring more years of data might be justified. There is a trade-off in this case. The more years of data used, the less the measures will reflect teachers and schools' current performance. But decision-makers would want to lean more toward reducing random error by using more years when the decisions are high stakes. Second, every effort should be made to account for factors outside the control of the educators being evaluated. But the ways to do this depend on the local context. Third, value added for program evaluation requires accounting for different factors than value added for accountability. In particular, we argue that teacher value added measures should be based on comparisons across schools to facilitate collaboration and cooperation. In the case of value added for program evaluation, the general absence of consequences for individuals means that there need be no concern about undermining collaboration. The goal is simply to learn whether the program works. The future of value added. School-level test-based accountability can certainly change teaching, but not always for the better, and not necessarily in ways that positively influence learning. The real question is, can value-added approaches improve education? We think the answer is yes, as long as the policies are well-designed and carefully implemented. We don't just need better performance measures, but a new way of thinking. The essence of education is about taking students where they start, even far down the ladder of readiness, and helping them grow as much as they can.